The Grade Cricketer is a Twitter stream. It's about playing cricket at the grade level.
It's a tough, mean, dirty, dirty business being a grade cricketer.
A lot of cricketers, you know, that's all they know. They've done it since they're 10 and they have a deep-seated fear of change.
But the grade cricket is all about being the most alpha version of yourself as possible, at all costs and at all times.
I don't bat or bowl. I just feel the gully, count the number of dot balls in a row, sledge 15-year-olds, make me feel better about myself.
Thanks champ.
Oh, no, you called me champ.
Hello and welcome to The Great Cricketer on the Diamantina Podcast Network. And my goodness me, what a special episode this is. It's so special that we haven't got a guest. That's how good it is. But what we have done is we've collated all the hashtag AskTGCs because, like, for whatever reason, people are getting quite existential. They're writing into us or asking all the questions about, like, you know, who's the biggest alpha, basically. That's how everyone frames every single question to us. Which we enjoy. And thanks for writing all those questions in. So we thought we need to answer all these questions before the end of the season comes around because, like, realistically, we've only got one more TV show. We've got two episodes left, I suppose. So, like, next weekend is what I'm trying to say. Next week will be the last podcast of the Australian summer anyway because
people will be gutted there's only one more TV show.
Three of us especially, we're absolutely gutted.
We've been gutted like a fish.
You did say that you need to get your affairs in order.
I need to get my affairs in order. It's a long season. I need to sit down, do a bit of housekeeping.
This summer has been harder than any cricket season we've ever had. Anyway, Ian Higgins
here. I've aged 13 years this summer.
Oh, it's been terrible.
I'm only 23
years
old.
It's been terrible for us.
So Ian Higgins here with Sam Perry and Dave Edwards. This is the morning after the night before the Australian Cricket Awards. Fair to say we're three of the most hungover men in Australia. So anything could happen. We haven't got an agenda. We don't know how to answer these questions, but I suppose the first question I'll put to both of you was how were the awards last night?
Well, it's nice to pretend that we're insiders at the awards, like we were. You know, I hired my tuxedo from Trevor West, formal hire. And yeah, like pretended we were hobnobbing and said thanks to people who came on our show and they just, you know, like looked over our shoulder like we were just journos, which I guess we are. But
we don't want to be in the journal category.
We went up to Moses and like Matt Renshaw and shit. We're like, oh, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, okay, cool. We're just talking. I'm like, yeah, oh, that's right. I remember now. We're
there's a pecking order.
White podcast guys. Yeah, it's a pecking order. Let's leave.
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, we were on the red carpet. I don't know if any of
it's a black carpet.
The listeners have seen any of that footage that's been splattered across social media of us kind of, you know, interviewing cricketers. You know, all of them. How many people do we speak to? 8, 9, 10? Cricket Australia CEO, he was the first one. Maxi, Usman Khawaja, Pat Cummins. We all had a chat with all of them. Yeah, that was good, wasn't it?
is that it?
I haven't got anything.
That's a takeaway.
Yeah. There's a lot of people coming up to us afterwards saying like, oh, you guys look really scared on the red carpet and stuff. And like it was, I don't know. What are we talking about here?
Of all the things that we have been able to do, particularly this summer, I thought that that was the most ridiculous thing, that we're on the red carpet. There's like four spots and we're one of the people and we're just asking ridiculous questions. Stoinis, obviously a huge highlight. People were like, have obviously seen
finally,
what he was. What
we
he
finally
was.
Got one-on-one time with Stoinis.
Just on Stoinis, who won Player of the Year.
Yes.
And I found that interesting in a lot of capacities because like I've never spoken to him before. Have you ever met him before?
No.
Have you haven't met him before? No. But like just came across as actually a really sound dude.
So we talked about this, right?
Yeah.
At the table. So for those who saw the Australian Cricket Awards or whatever, you would have noticed that Stoinis was in some kind of like a garish get up with his
1920s kind of prohibition
like
era.
Peaky Blinders hat.
It was kind of it was a bit different in the
and didn't they keep saying
sense.
That?
And they really did, like they really positioned him as this different bloke, right? And he got up to speak, and this was just before Kim Hughes, who accepted Dean Jones's award for the Hall of Fame, said that leadership is about providing an environment where you dare to be different, which is a wonderful line and should apply to Australian cricketers, except that like everyone wanted, and Stoinis is the it man of Australian cricket, but everyone took the moment to say how different Stoinis was, except that when he got up and spoke and they're like, oh, why are you wearing this thing? You know, why are you wearing this get up? He's just like, I'm just doing it to make my mates laugh. And I just do it for my mates and I just want to have a laugh. And we're like, you're the most normal guy in the room.
In terms of like like winning a situation, like he alphaed the fuck out of the room because it was just like, oh, look at this silly little get up.
But they couldn't deal with
his
it.
His answer was, I don't care. I'm just having a good time here with my mates and I join and play cricket for Australia.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, okay. Well, they really wanted
him to be that kind of character, didn't they? Because the host, Jason Richardson, mirrored what he was wearing on stage, you know, hoping to get that kind of gag out of him. But Stoinis just, you know, was like, yep,
I'm just a guy having a good time. Yeah. I just wear funny stuff. I enjoy my cricket. And he's like, he thanked his teammates. He thanked his family. Mm. And he said, you know, they know what I mean when I say that. He seemed like the most grounded, down-to-earth person of all.
Yeah. Mm.
Except that everyone took the opportunity to say how different he was because that's fucking cricket. And, you know, if it's like the actual dress code was black tie with a splash of colour. I reckon about 20% of people there actually wore the splash of colour. It was just black tie. Yeah. Cricket's fucking conservative.
Well, Dean Jones was entered into the Hall of Fame. Let me put it to you, lads.
Yeah, please.
That Dean Jones is the worst player in the Hall of Fame.
We talked about this earlier, he goes, and yeah, I mean, the stats aren't great, are they? Mm. I mean, 3,000-ish test runs. Mm. It's kind of like a weird amount of runs, isn't it? 3,000. Mm-hmm. It's not that good.
It's like if you dropped...
low or high.
It's like I've got all these receipts from work on my desk that I still haven't kind of expensed at work, and it probably would amount to about $2,000, and I just can't be fucked doing it because it's going to be like 6 hours of admin.
Yeah.
You're reducing his test runs to receipts at work.
Yeah, I'm comparing Dean Jones's test career runs to my receipts for work that I have an expense. It's just going to be annoying, and it's only $2,000. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's a lot of money.
It's a lot, but it's like it's not that
much. It's like a game changer.
It's nice when you see it.
It's nice to have, but like 6 hours of admin, like $2,000.
I can buy some shoes now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't want to go through the torture of it.
It's like if you dropped like 40 cents on the ground, do you pick it up?
Make more money fucking bending down, that's Bill Gates style.
So, Pez, don't get it confused. I'm not saying he's a bad cricketer by any stretch. But Hall of Fame? Like fucking Hall of Fame greatest ever cricketers, Dean Jones. Yeah.
Is that right? It doesn't feel right, man. Because we could read the auto cue like the guys were obviously reading off for the broadcast. And before Dean Jones was inducted, Billy Murdoch was inducted. Billy Murdoch's dead, and you know you obviously take a chance to say when anyone's dead. But
yes,
Billy Murdoch, like Alfred W.G. Grace, and started the Ashes.
He started the Ashes.
So and he was the first Australian player to hit a triple century in first class cricket. So he's done some good shit.
Yeah,
and then it was like there was some kind of weird like revisionism or like historical correction going on with Dean Jones's induction. It was like. The whole sort of theme was like he was unfairly done by, and we're kind of like making up for that now.
Mm.
Which is, I mean, can we read into this? Yeah. Is this some sort of CA distraction technique or something? I mean, because I'm not seeing Hall of Fame.
No, but also like, because Dean Jones' autobiography, Mike Hall, one of the greatest cricket books out there, if anyone hasn't read it. Basically Dean Jones talking about how wonderful his father is, and it really was the genesis for a lot of the comedy of the great cricketer, his relationship with his father anyway.
Right.
When Dean Jones' package was run last night, they showed a little clip of him almost agreeing with the decision to drop him at the time, whereas the first chapter of Dean Jones' autobiography is all about the injustice, the terrible injustice of being dropped while he sat in a hotel room in Bloemfontein, South Africa, after playing 52 tests in the prime of his life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That to me seemed like CA revisionism.
Some fucking North Korea shit going on with Dean Jones' induction last night. It was very staged.
Like he really left the game in massive acrimony.
Yeah.
Like he was fucking livid.
He's also the only guy who's
declined our podcast on
contractual
grounds because Star India won't let him, which is just a lie, Dean. Yeah. And I know you don't listen to
Star India, please. I want to go on the Great Cricket podcast.
Adam Gilchrist literally came on our podcast, and he's with Fox, and we're with Seven.
Yeah. He's the face of Fox, and he came on the podcast.
It was fine for Gilchrist, but Star not Dean India. Jones.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
He was my favorite player. He threw me his gloves,
and like
when I was 8 years just, old.
I got to say, like dynamic cricketer, like terrific player, terrific player.
Hall
of Fame. Nah.
Let's start a broader chat.
Okay.
What the fuck is Hall of Fame? Australian cricket. Is that even a thing?
Well, I don't know what the criteria is.
Like, you don't hear people go, well, he's a Hall of Famer.
It's our Hall of Famer.
It's not like, like the NBA.
Name for me Australian cricket Hall of Famers apart from Geoff Thompson because of his speech last year or whenever the fuck that was. I mean, it's not even a thing.
Yeah.
Bradman's probably in there.
But the I hope Bradman was in.
Yeah, he's probably in it.
Dean Jones is in there. Bradman's
It'd be
there.
Hilarious if he wasn't in there and Dean Jones was in.
But it's up. Like, you know, like the rugby league, you have the immortals.
Mm.
The Hall of Fame.
To me, the Hall of Fame is like is basically like the great team of like the 2000 era, yeah. And then like Bradman. That's like it's basically Australia's top six: Warne, and then Bradman. That's like, but yeah, who else won awards last night?
Should go through the Hall of Fame here. I've got it here.
Oh, okay, we're
Jack Blackham, Fred Spofforth, Trumper,
I found
Clary Grimmett. Have you watched Clary Grimmett bowl on YouTube?
Yeah, I have.
Genuinely wouldn't make fifth grade. And he got Bradman out a lot. Makes you think. Bill Ponsford. Oh, Bradman's in there. Okay.
Bradman, okay.
Bradman's got to go. Yeah.
He got there a couple of years ago. He wasn't the first. He got a couple
Bill
of years
O'Reilly,
ago.
Keith Miller, Ray Linwell, Lilly. A couple of good players here. Warwick Armstrong.
Who's the worst player? Is Dean Jones the
worst? Well, Neil Harvey, Alan Border. Let's go through it. Woodfull. I keep thinking, every time I think of Bill Woodfull, I think of Bill Woods.
Well, Bill Woods now or Bill Woods Sports Tonight?
Yeah, Sports Tonight, yeah.
That's one for the UK fans.
Arthur Morris, Greg Chappell, Stan McCabe, Ian Chappell, some good players. Hassett, Trumbull, Alan Davidson, Clem Hill, a couple of more, Monty Nobles. Yeah, it actually goes on for quite a long time, and Dean Jones.
Do you reckon Greg Chappell should be taken out of the Hall of Fame, given his contribution to Australian cricket?
You can't look like when they like edit someone out of a movie because of the Me Too movement, like Kevin Spacey. We had to remove him and replace him with another actor. Can we replace Greg Chappell with, I don't know,
Doug Walters or something?
He's Steve Smith.
I still think boomers run our world, and boomers,
of course
they do. Boomers,
of course
they do. Like, I mean, Greg Chappell's a boomer, and I think like boomers love Chappell the way that we love like Mark Warren, Shane Warne. Like he's an untouchable, even though like
fucking boomers.
Well,
man.
That's interesting because like
KAB killer boomers, all boomers.
I think like Mark Warren and Shane Warne are just like they're in the spotlight now where they're kind of like they're detracting a little bit. Like the gloss, the shine off like their like the deities that are those two great cricketers.
So which guy, sorry, I missed.
Warne.
Okay, yeah.
And just like some of the shit that they say is just like,
well, they've just got a fucking endless platform to vent like we do. But we create our own platform, but obviously they're just paid for opinions.
Yeah.
Like Shane Warne releases a new team every day.
Yeah.
So stop fucking making teams, Shane Warne.
Well, okay,
he's just put it out as Ashes 11.
Yeah.
It's fucking 6 months to go.
Yeah. There's no Stark or Khawaja in his Ashes 11.
Of course not.
But Darcy Short's opening the batting. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't Warne. Mark, I mean, one thing that did sum up those guys' views is I was watching the Big Bash the other night, and it was like Darren Lehman and Mark Waugh, who are like two senior selectors in the Australian side a couple of months ago, now obviously haven't got gigs for various reasons that we all understand, discussing Matthew Wade's chances and like the way they just kiboshed the idea of Matt Wade being in the side.
Who was the domestic player of the year?
Domestic player of the year, clearly the most in-form and like together Australian batsman at the moment who isn't in the national side.
Yep.
And he could well be the most together batsman if he was in the national side.
Yep.
The way they kiboshed it was hilarious. It was like they both, Lehman and Ward, just piled on each other with reasons why he shouldn't be in the side. And before that, they'd said like, well, you know, Matt Wade, like Cummins, I think, and Matt Wade had a bit of a verbal on field. And, you know, it was sort of mentioned, well, he gets under people's skin, Matt Wade, you know.
A little side mouth comment.
The whole thing was side mouth. It was a side mouth emoji. But it was like, oh,
I don't think Mark Waugh's ever talked out of the front of his mouth.
That's a good, he should try it, shouldn't he? Yeah.
Isn't the thing about like a guy like Wade, just in the peak of his powers, he's 31. It reminds
Mark
you.
Mark Waugh said, he's 32. He's like, well, he's not. He like literally turned 31 a couple months ago.
And didn't you say that like his reasoning was, oh, he had a go. He had a go.
His comment is that like, his career stats are there for all
they
to
speak
see.
For themselves, don't they? And no one can ever change. No one can ever improve.
Well, you can never get better.
You had a go, and now you're removed from the setup, and you can never have another go.
We picked you. We gave you a go when you weren't as good as you are now, and therefore
you've gone
are.
Away. You've improved yourself. You're the domestic player of the year, but you had a go.
And also, our side is just absolutely full of runs at the moment.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I mean, we're actually settled as a side.
That's true.
Who can't make 300.
Well, we score 400s against Sri Lanka. So
as long as we play at Manukau, we'll get Sri Lanka forever.
But doesn't like when Wade batting just remind you of like a guy like in a club sense or a great cricket you know, sense. It's like when a guy, like an older guy comes out to bat and he like faces his first where he blocks it and you go, fuck, how do we get this bloke out? You know, like, it's always like an older guy comes to the crease. They're just together. They know the game. Like Steve Waugh's basically last fucking 4 years of his test career was just like, he was just old. He wasn't good. He was just old. He just couldn't get him out. You know what I mean?
Steve Waugh just, my memories of Steve Waugh's last couple of years was him just turning his shoulder to every ball and just getting
hit.
There's a great conversation to be had about like, great players retiring and who was like the best of the worst when they lost it. Do you know what I mean?
Who was like, the who, best of the worst?
Well, who looked really good even though they'd lost their faculties? Or who
faculties?
Looked, well, they had, you know. I mean, Mark Waugh couldn't play anymore. Mm. Yeah. He honestly couldn't play the code.
Yeah.
Steve Waugh was the same.
Yeah.
Ponting looked kind of good. Like
it was
saw,
just the hook shot that he kind of
but
had
Ponting
some troubles
was like
with.
Falling over.
Oh, it was all.
Do you know what I mean? Like Ponting, Mark Taylor was. Yeah.
But it's probably like a guy like Langer or Hayden who went out still relatively on top, isn't it? That's probably the answer.
I don't know.
Bradman got bowled, didn't he? Didn't pick the wrong one.
Well, he said he walked back into the.
You're only as good as your last
he walked back through the Bradman corridor and apparently said, oh, I picked it.
But I just didn't want to hit it. I just wanted an average 99.
He got bowled with a wrong one from Hollies and he was just like, oh, was that the wrong one?
Yeah.
that was wrong, wasn't it?
Did Bradman do that after he got out? Like, oh, was that one, wasn't it?
He did the wrist flip thing.
Oh, was that one?
Yeah.
Oh. Isn't it interesting, though? Like, I mean, so the selectors on air took, show. Because there's only like three jobs going in Australian cricket and like only two people can fulfill all those jobs. Yeah. There's no point job sharing at all. But, like, for instance, like if they go to a Shield game, right, and Matt Wade is like at the crease and he's batting and he's scoring runs. But like, they're obviously watching. Like, they're not just like flicking onto Crick Info and just like catching up the scores. They have to be at the games. So what happens when like, so what happens when like Wade's at the crease? Mm. Are they just like, well, this doesn't matter? Is that that's what they're saying? Like, he's not going to get picked.
They genuinely on this BBL commentary stint with the Hurricanes, they discussed that and. Both of them like outlined why they watched No Shields because there's so much international cricket.
It's fucking
going
embarrassing.
On. And
that's
like,
embarrassing.
Like, Mark Waugh said, and it was like, no, sorry, it wasn't Mark Waugh. It was Darren Lehman.
Yeah.
Described how in his tenure as Australian coach, he could only get to one Shield game a year, and we were. I don't know the logistics of it, but we were supposed to. Like he said it in a way that like we were supposed to accept that like. It's just a constraint of the schedule that he can only see one Shield game. I was like, can you retrospectively watch more, please? You know what
can
I mean?
Can you play like, catch-up services are available for you to watch?
Well, I mean, these guys, like, this is the thing. Like, they reveal things about Australian cricket and their priorities when they say things like this. I think they're just trying to be entertaining, but, like, there's no comment that sums up more how, like, the lack of value placed on Shield cricket than, you know, Darren Lehman, the last Australian coach, saying, I watch one
but
match.
We've like literally joked about it on various different platforms this summer about you got to score the right kind of runs. And so like literally, like you're playing in a Shield game and like the Australian domestic player of the year is batting and Tasmania are four for fucking nothing. And then he comes out and scores runs. Are they just like... This like what's happening here does not matter. None of this matters. So like he's not scoring the right kind of runs. So what's the point of him playing? Like it's fucking ridiculous.
You watch Matt Wade bat. He's at the absolute peak of his powers. I mean, he just like if you're talking about visceral reactions to batsmen, which is you know what we do in Australian cricket. Like, I mean, he is so together. Mm. And then the reasons against him playing are like, well, he tried once, but it's like, yeah, but he's not a keeper anymore. I mean, the entire situation is different. You know, like he's so together. He's scoring the most runs. He looks amazing. Why is it in Australian cricket that like certain guys have to do double more than anyone else to be noticed?
That's what I'm saying,
and certain other
it's
guys,
it's a boys' club. Australian cricket is a boys' club.
What's the formula? Is it just a chest thing? Is it just having beers? Seriously, like just
it's
being.
It's probably something that you can't articulate. It's like pheromones. It's a chemical feeling that they have around certain men as opposed to
like
other men.
Langer just smells guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a smell.
He uses those pheromone wipe-ons you get in the toilets.
So who were the good pheromone guys?
Yeah.
Toilets is obviously a good pheromone guy.
Labuschagne.
Labuschagne's got good pheromones. Real good.
Just with the Alan Border medal itself. The Cummins won it just ahead of Nathan Lyon, who's obviously had just an incredible year because he hasn't even played the one days for the most part. So to nearly take out the gong for overall cricket of the year is incredible. Third, Aaron Finch.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
Jarring for Australian cricket.
I think that Aaron kind of Finch sums up the
and
year.
And probably for yeah. him as well. I dare say he would have been chastened and slightly embarrassed by the nomination.
I think so, yeah.
I think it does reflect like his very, very superior form in short form to the game that didn't last into this summer. But still. Well,
Khwaja was also up for the Test Award.
That was funny, yeah.
That was funny.
Good catch, though, in Adelaide.
He did have two good innings.
Yeah.
In the last 12 months.
It's kind of funny how, like, we were saying before, Edo, is that, like, there was no, like, summation of the year. Because it kind of started off, like, we won the Ashes. Like, three of us won the Ashes.
Yeah.
We won. Finishing off with Sydney there. And then, obviously, went to South Africa, a pretty uneventful series for the most part. But, like, there was no, like, reflection of, like, the year that was. Because then we went to Dubai.
Yeah. I would have appreciated that little wrap-up of the year and obviously the terrible atrocities that happened as well. They should have been addressed, I thought, front up. And I thought maybe Kevin Roberts, CEO, you know, like a club president, would have got up there and given a speech. But I didn't see him anywhere near a stage.
Exactly. And what?
Like, why not? Yeah. I mean, you're the new CEO. These are the awards. Yeah. I mean, I understand broadcast is a consideration and time and so forth. But surely the CEO of Cricket Australia should be getting up there and saying a few words, shouldn't he?
Once again, Cricket Australia is copying Aussie rules. I'm sorry to get on this, but like the fact that we're now discussing whether Dean Jones should be in the Hall of Fame or not is a classic distraction technique from CA.
Yeah.
Really, the club president, Kevin Roberts, should have been up there speaking, and he should have been taking notes from. I mean, even Donald Trump gives a State of the Union speech, and he gets people to stand up every 2 minutes and give a standing ovation.
Who would be
ovation.
The two people sitting behind Kevin Roberts if he gave a State of the Union?
Well, Greg Dyer from the ACA.
Yes, ACA and CA.
He'd be Pelosi doing the shark.
Dyer is Pelosi.
Yeah, and then who'd be Kevin Roberts?
Candace Warner.
And Candace Warner, exactly.
So, Earl Eddings.
Yeah,
Roxy Jacinto.
So,
I was just thinking, like, in terms of, like, this was broadcast on 7, mate. Is there any interest in, like, the Australian Cricket Awards? Because there was no interest in the Sri Lanka series as a whole, which I can't blame anyone for. But, like, are people even going to be interested in, like, what we're talking about? There's the Cricket Awards.
Probably not, mate. Like, I mean, we live in a gilded bubble ourselves.
Yes.
Too much so, I would say.
But, like, do you think there's interest in, like, you know, I mean, Pat Cummins having a wonderful year, or a celebration of that, you know, Elisa Healy, incredible years. The girls won the T20 World Cup.
Yeah,
incredible.
Whatever they won. Yeah. At the end of the awards, the girls won. They usually charge their glasses at the end.
Yeah, you got to say like this,
The awards. Toast, like that's what I look forward to is, you know, raising a toast and we all hold up our glasses. Although you couldn't get a fucking drink there last night. I swear to God, the service was atrocious. A crown. But why didn't they charge the glasses? That's a tradition. Cricket loves tradition.
Yeah. I don't know. Is there something about like it seems very old school to like, would you please charge your glasses?
Yes.
Yeah.
But there are some little traditions I like. Mm. I mean, I'm not really a traditionalist, but there are some things I want desperately from an awards night. Mm.
You wanted that.
I want to charge
like
glass to the
winner.
20 minutes
before it happened, you're like, it is an interesting thing. Glasses.
And then they didn't.
Mm. You're like, I am holding this drink and I will raise it in acknowledgement of your achievements over the last calendar year.
But it is
and I will drink to that. Yeah. I shall drink to this.
I will drink to this. Not because of my thirst, my insatiable thirst.
It's a hell of a show.
We'll move along because there's so many questions to answer here from other people who have written in.
I say last week, the response to the Steve Waugh story was fantastic.
Oh yeah,
And we kind of like facetiously said, "Have you got a Steve Waugh story? Get in touch." Yeah. And
people did,
and boy, you did.
And we had 15 stories.
Yeah,
except that many of them are not verifiable.
Well,
except. That's there's the a problem. Common theme,
yeah,
and that Steve Waugh is a and just insert your own word there, but
again, untouchable,
absolute deity of the game,
yes,
and he shouldn't be trifled with. But
so for all the people, all
there
the
was
people
a lot of stories,
but there were also some other like it was just a free for all. People were getting in touch with experiences with cricketers, not just Steve Waugh, but there were some other former cricketers.
There was like Jeff Thompson. There was like a Maddison story in there. Jeff Lawson in there as well. Yeah. There was like just a number of like I think we'd be really.
I could paraphrase one Steve Waugh story that he like for those who are rugby league fans. It involves Steve Waugh and Bill Harrigan, referee,
both
playing an over 35 soccer match, and it was from the perspective of the referee
yeah,
who described his experience of being of dealing with Steve Waugh and Bill Harrigan on the field. And I know people were like, oh, what's his story? Basically, he brandished the referee who told this story brandished a yellow card to Bill Harrigan, who wasn't happy with it. And Steve Waugh stood in Harrigan's way and said, fucking pathetic.
Why is everything Steve Waugh said? So it's only of like one or two words, but it's just loaded with
and
meaning.
Jarring. Why can I visualize it so well? You know what I mean? Like,
fucking
just
pathetic.
Those squinty eyes.
Yeah.
He's wearing glasses. A baggy green.
He's wearing a baggy green at Oakley. He's playing soccer.
Yeah.
That's what's going on. Yeah. Fucking pathetic.
He's wearing a baggy green and glasses.
Yeah, just fucking holding court in centre midfield there. Yeah.
Should we do some of these?
Yeah, we'll do some of the things. I'll say that for people who are listening to this before Thursday, the Australian Podcast Awards, the voting finishes on Thursday on Valentine's Day. So if you do want to take the time, it takes apparently it takes less than 2 minutes, between 90 seconds and 2 minutes. It'll take to give us a vote. We'd really appreciate it because, like, I think we said this last week, but we want to win. You know, we did this thing. We registered to win, so we want to win. So and that just relies on you guys out there.
We want validation.
We want validation.
We yearn for validation desperately.
I don't think we're asking the listeners to do anything else this week. We
usually ask a lot of them.
We have been asking them to do a lot of things.
Just sit back and enjoy
apologize
the content.
For that.
Just sit back.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's answer some questions.
It's the RSTGC special. Let's do it.
Can I say? I'll just tell one story. Just please. In the lead up to the Ashes. This is from last night. So I was at Crown Casino. I was playing a bit of roulette.
Mate, you were bombing on the roulette.
You actually left for a while to go and gamble.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. It's a problem.
I watched you gamble.
Yeah,
that's
right.
I didn't participate. I just watched you lose.
Anyway, you then left, and then you were talking to the Australian cricket captain Tim Payne.
Tim Payne came over to bullishly debate selection things, and I was like, I was so pissed. I serve at the pleasure of the president. You know what I mean? I was like, we can't have this. I can't talk. I was like, except that Farwood should be in the ODI side because we need wickets between overs 10 to 40. And are you going to adopt a horses for courses policy in England?
Yeah.
And then he just said that. Well, but all of our batsmen play away from their body.
Such a weird interaction. Anyway, I'm playing roulette. Probably not fair to name the person that I was playing with, but
cool.
It's a current player, and he's going to be playing in the Ashes. And the West Indies England Test match was on, and then I was like, oh, how good's it seeing Mark Wood bowl 95 mile an hour again?
While you're playing roulette,
and then I just said it sarcastically, and then he was like, oh, is he playing? Is he?
Yeah,
and I go, he took 5 wickets in the first innings. And I was like, oh, do you guys watch much of the cricket? Like, have you watched any of this series? You know? And then he was like, looked at the screen, turned his head, looked at the screen, watched one ball, and he goes, that's honestly the first ball I've seen of this series.
But to be fair to them, he doesn't need to watch it now. Like, he can do all his video closer to the it's like when you're prepping for a meeting at work.
Sure.
You know, you can do it the day before.
Yeah.
But it's more like the guy literally is in the test side. And there's no immersion in cricket.
And
it makes you feel terrible that you need to stay across it. And the guy who's actually playing doesn't give a fuck.
You're sitting on the bus with your headphones in, watching a guy shadow bat with his umbrella. You're squeezing an avocado at the supermarket, realising you'll never be able to buy a home, but geez, you're absolutely going to crush breakfast. You're walking the dog, assessing the likely speed of the outfield if a cricket match was being played. You're sitting next to your teenage son in the car, while three blokes from the internet discuss the intricacies of male grooming techniques for the showers. You're listening to the Grade Cricketer podcast, and you're thinking, how do I get around the boys? From Brendan Julian asking them if they've ever lifted the Sheffield Shield trophy, to Mike Atherton desperately wanting to get off the phone, to Brad Hodge revealing that he batted in a club game with an IPL lid on, and finally all the way to Adam Zampa saying that he fucking hates grade cricket, just like the rest of us. Yep, we've all come a long way together, and now the Grade Cricketer lads are asking you to get around them. The Australian Podcast Awards are the night of nights for mainly blokes to celebrate their achievement of having a USB microphone and an internet connection. And Dave, Pez and Higos are asking you to get around them by lodging your vote for the Grade Cricketer Podcast at australianpodcastawards.com. Just click on vote, search for the Grade Cricketer and follow the prompts. Maybe they'll splash on a bit of Chop King cologne for the occasion. Maybe they'll rock up in whites. Public voting ends on Valentine's Day, the loneliest day of the year for podcasters. It's the last thing they'll ask from you. Until the next thing. The Australian Podcast Awards. Is Dad listening? Dad? Dad? Dad, I'm doing something good. Come and watch me. Dad.
Dress code last night, boys, was black tie with a splash of colour.
Yeah.
Very few people adhered to the latter element of that.
Because it's hard to do black tie with a splash of colour. A guy messaged you on the internet and he said your bow tie was the equivalent of a...
Yeah, keeper in short sleeves. Yeah.
And like, I mean, we've only just stopped laughing.
Yeah, I mean, dunked on. Absolutely fucking dunked on.
Yeah.
Posterized.
I considered wearing my budgie smuggler, retro Australian budgie smugglers as a splash of colour, but then I realised no one would see it.
I wore the budgie smuggler socks that they issued us as friends of the show or friends of them. And them to us. I wore them last night. That was my splash of colour, some budgie smuggler socks.
I was just thinking, lads, just on the theme of like, you know, men being critical of what other men wear. But the real alpha of the night was the guy who wore probably the most like outlandish thing, Marcus Stoinis. So then was just like, I don't care, I'm just having a good time with mates, enjoying playing cricket for Australia. He's the kind of guy who would wear budgie smuggler, not to necessarily attach Marcus Stoinis to that company.
No, not necessarily.
Although we can make that introduction.
Yes.
Should budgie smuggler be interested for a finder's fee. Small finder's fee.
But what I'm saying is that, you know, real alphas don't compete. That's a quote from Dr. Happy.
Yeah.
Marcus Stoinis doesn't compete.
Yes.
Budgie smuggler fans out there don't compete.
Real silverbacks don't have to compete.
Real silverbacks don't have to compete.
And once again, you don't have to get those retro smugglers. You can get custom smugglers. Do your design, your own design.
Take ownership. Take control.
Submit it. And if there's over 11 of them, enter the discount code CHAMP and you get some sort of discount.
That's the great thing about a discount. You punch in a code, then like you have to pay less money than the money that you otherwise would.
You type in capitals, CHAMP.
Yes.
On the
red. And then the money goes down.
We did a petition to stamp out the CHAMP, but punch in the...
was going to say that, I mean, we did petition to get that word removed from cricketing lexicon, but this doesn't obviously apply to the CHAMP discount you can receive from Budgie Smuggler.
Yeah.
So that's Budgie Smuggler. .com.au. Do your own custom design, your own whatever you want on those smugglers. Marcus Stoinis' face, whatever you like. Incline press, decline, bench press,
chest wise,
chest. That's the chest hierarchy of needs. Hierarchy of chest needs. Budgiesmuggler.com.au. Go to the site.
All right, hashtag ask TGC. Okay, here we go. Hugh McLeish says...
Guys who write things funnier than we do.
Yep. Well, this is a strong start straight away. Okay, as a 17-year-old venturing into the unknowns of grade cricket, a teammate lost his box and being the only other guy in the change room after getting out, he asked me for mine. He was known around the club for his off-field exploits, including going to South America to get rid of a weed addiction to only return with a coke addiction. However, seeing a presumably mid-20s man in such a vulnerable position, begging me for help in his Grey Nicks jocks with the pouch, I had a moment of sympathy. Next week in the Carter training, one of my teammates informed me that when he returned from South America, he also came home with chlamydia. How do I tell my girlfriend that I think I might have chlamydia? Thanks.
I just got to be open. Transparent with her.
I mean, in terms of like,
she'll appreciate it because it can be actually quite damaging, and it's often the symptoms don't present themselves for females.
Oh, really?
Chlamydia,
Okay. So he,
but it can affect things like fertility and so forth. So if he does think he has chlamydia, he should certainly inform her immediately.
That's a serious thing. Yeah,
she has it, it could be a problem.
Tricky conversation to come up with. I think I got it from my teammate.
Yeah.
You got
in the toilet seat,
Hugh. You got to be careful about.
Let's split these up because there's a few. I'll read this one out. This is from Leighton Uzi. Not really a question. All right. I was at the local supermarket last week at around 6 p.m. I saw a guy in his 30s wearing his whites and thongs, which would seem to imply that he'd played a game and wore spikes. Previously, I would have perhaps been happy for him that he'd enjoyed a game of cricket, or maybe assumed he must be a good player and hence had some respect for him. But I did not feel happy for him. I did not feel respectful towards him. Since being indoctrinated by your attitude, I felt pure contempt. Not sure whether I should thank you or not. I was right. It's not really a question.
Seeing someone in full whites in like the real world, just out in society, is
jarring.
Yes, it is.
Like, they're really clean.
It's like seeing a school teacher outside school when you're a kid, and you'd see your teacher at Woolies or something. That was equally disturbing.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense unless it's
he's
in
like
that
with his family
context.
Or something. He's not in your maths class.
You know, like when you're playing cricket and you have to wear whites onto the field because that's what the code requires. Yep. Like, isn't the first thing you do when you get off the field you just like want to get out of those fucking clothes, especially the trousers?
Mm. Yeah.
Even watching like the Australian cricket team when they're lauded for like not taking their kit off, you see package highlights of like them in their whites, and you just think, fucking come on, goat, have a shower. You know what I mean? Like, it just looks dirty. I need you to have a shower.
How come cricket clothing hasn't evolved?
Yeah.
Who was that New Zealand wicketkeeper that like walked home after
a
test match?
Yeah,
and he was
seen
like in Wellington just walking around the suburbs with his kit and his full whites.
They
on.
Won a game. Yeah, he lived
close
to the ground.
It was like his first test match.
Yeah. Who was that?
I don't know, mate. But hopefully he's been banished from cricket. Because that's fucking village.
Okay, we got one from it says Luke or Sam.
Yeah,
Turner.
I remember reading this one, and he's like, it came through on Facebook, but like his name on Facebook was one or the other, but then he signed it off with a different name, so I was confused.
Okay,
I'll read it out.
Yeah,
dear the grade cricketer, dear the grade cricketer, I need your help with an issue that has crippled me well to this day. As a mid-20-year-old adult, as a young tearaway quick, I was often selected in representative squads and bowled alongside former test cricketer Joe Menny. Jarring. My career took a downhill spiral when in the under-15s representing the Diggers Hurricanes. After knocking the stumps out of the ground of two batsmen in successive deliveries, I was nervous ahead of my hat-trick delivery. I breathed heavily, a la Chris Green, at the top of his mark, and set upon the proudest moment of my life, period. The release was perfect. The ball swung beautifully late towards the off stump of the unsuspecting batsman who was pinned to the crease harder than Arjuna Ranatunga on a Sunday afternoon in Colombo. The ball thudded into the lower half of the pad as I turned to appeal furiously to my older brother who was umpiring and doubled as our team coach. After a few seconds of supposed serious contemplation, he shook his head with a small smirk as he pointed to signal the ball was going down. Leg. On the 1.5-kilometre car ride home with my mum, dad and brother, he said, "It was hitting the stumps, but I couldn't deal with your arrogance for the next 3 months. Instead, let this be a lesson in humility." I haven't bought him a Christmas present since, and I still hate the dickhead. How do you suggest I move on, given I am still scarred by this incident? Yours in cricket, Sam Turner.
Sam, you don't move on. You don't move on from this. He had a hat trick. I got a hat trick.
You have experienced a grave and evidence based injustice. Like he has experienced injustice. And injustice is a painful fucking wound.
Well, especially when you realize the justice system is inherently flawed.
Well, exactly. And now we're talking about serial and outside. He definitely did it.
What about the Nisha call?
No, maybe the fucking police like didn't exactly piece it together, but seriously, I mean, fuck, it was Syed. Definitely killed her.
I like that his brother said, "Instead, let this be a lesson in humility."
Is his brother like 60 years old?
His brother's erudite. Michael Kirby, Chief Justice.
And congratulations too.
And
Justice
congratulations
Kirby.
To Michael Kirby. Yeah.
I don't think you move on from this. Like a hat trick. He had a hat trick and he pinned the batsman like a Juna Ranatunga on a Sunday afternoon in Colombo.
Imagine the glee of being the brother in the car. I'm imagining he's sitting in the front seat, the brother, and the bowler is in the back seat, maybe in the middle or on the side, discussing the dismissal. Mm. And the brother is just looking straight ahead, just going, "Let this be a lesson in humility." It's like, it's left here, please, Dad.
On the 1.5-kilometre ride home. It's like only time for like two sentences.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. This one comes from Joshua Litherland. Last week, my fourth grade captain, also my club president, in a bid to fuse the incompatible warm-ups and ground preparation into one segment, ordered the whole team to place the boundary cones out while running in an Indian file around the ground. This was honestly the most village thing I had ever done in my life and was utterly embarrassed. How can I avoid future humiliation when my 55-year-old captain, whose arm literally bends 20 degrees whilst bowling, conducts the same Satan-like warm-up ground setup combo? Should I hand off my cones to some insignificant miner who is just filling in for the day, or establish my alpha status within the team domain by running in front of the group and conducting my own dynamic stretches whilst everyone else is made to suffer through the most beta male practice ever seen on a cricket field? TGC, please help, asks.
So I don't quite understand, although I kind of like the sentiment from the captain, to be honest, because it's efficient. But so they're warming up and they're placing the cones at the same time, so they're running around the field.
They're just running around the field.
It's like a mixed exercise.
It's kind of like, let's do a lap, but also set the boundary cones.
But surely like that's just one person's job. Like there's 11 people in a cricket team.
And he's tried. The captain's tried to turn it into a bonding exercise. I think let's talk. I mean, why don't we talk about things you can do in the stretching circle to establish a status? Because, like, I think doing stretches that nobody has ever seen before is one such thing. You look like you're the exercise, like sports science.
Well, the first
guy.
Thing. Well, there's nothing. Yeah, that makes someone feel more elite than being asked to lead the stretches. During the stretching
you announce circle. Yourself as the physical dominant species of the team.
And why do you always have to go from bottom to top when stretching?
Yeah.
Like, we'll do the fucking ankles and then we move up.
The first thing you do is, like, you do a lap, then you stop halfway around and you lean against the fence and you do, like, a really weak calf stretch, even though you won't do any... You don't actually perform any sort of, like, physical exertion for, like, probably another 45, 50 minutes, depending on what you're doing. You might not do anything at all, but you always, like, lightly stretch your calf against the fence.
Yeah, I bat number six in the side and I don't bowl, which means my involvement in the game is at least 3 hours away. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, but I will stretch. I will be admonished for not stretching, even though, like, literally my contribution to the scorecard will not commence for
I will then
hours.
Go and sit down, read the entire Sydney Morning Herald from back to front.
Yeah.
And then I won't do anything athletic for at least 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
There's a lot of very village warm-up techniques. I mean, there's the obvious one is the catching semicircle where you're not involved until you get one ball hit at you, and it's usually
the least. That's the most ridiculous cricket drill there is. Semicircle catching, you underarm ball to a batter. Like, what does that replicate in a game? It's like nicks and cuts. Like, that is absolute waste of time.
Yeah.
What about the – I'll try and explain this with words, given this is a podcast. But what about the drill where you get you're all in one group, so you're all waiting in a line for most part. Well, I guess that is really quite cricket, but, like, waiting to be involved. But, like, you get hit a ball along the ground. So it's a ground fielding drill. Yeah, and as you pick the ball up and throw it in, the hitter hits the ball in the air. And so you're throwing while a ball is in the air, which it does not replicate anything in the game. And then as you take the catch, someone hits a ball along the ground.
Yeah,
and so you're like, I've got missiles coming at me, and I'm trying to concentrate on throwing.
Yeah,
and that doesn't happen in cricket at any stage, but it's meant to develop some kind of awareness.
If you throw a ball whilst there's, like, another ball coming at you, and it's a bad throw, someone will say throws up.
Yeah, throws exactly.
Like, there's not that many balls in a game of cricket.
Exactly. But what's the keeper just goes like, "What the fuck's this?" You know what I mean? Like just bounces past him because you've got, like, someone's hit a ball at your face.
Yeah.
And you've thrown it and, like, stopped the follow through of the throw because there's a missile coming at you. You know what I mean? And it's just like, and this is cricket.
But why is it, like, is it harnessing peripherals? Is it like it's working on your peripheral vision, I guess?
Yeah.
But when do you need your peripherals?
Exactly. Everything's in front of you. If you're lucky, you get one catch in, like, an 8-hour day.
Yeah.
Mm. And the way you're trained for that catch in the morning
is
to have another missile coming at you. Like, I can't concentrate on anything.
It is the worst.
And like, it's kind of like done in the name of efficiency. Like, well, let's get a couple of goes in at one, like, you know, at once, and the rest of the team is waiting in a fucking line behind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we could all be doing this drill. We could all be taking catches. Instead, we're just waiting in a line, yelling at the person who's, you know, got a missile coming at him.
Yeah. And if you drop that catch, someone will say standards.
Yeah. Come on, boys, standards. Yeah. Come on, lift.
And you're so scared of the next ball that's about to come.
It's terrifying.
You do a shit throw, then it obviously goes past the keeper. Then you have to go and get it. So then you don't do anything for another 6 minutes.
Yeah. Exactly. You could be the team, like the Labuschagne of the team, who, like, stands behind the keeper to, like, deal with the backups and shit.
It is funny, like,
it's a whole thing.
Even in a warm up, you do wait. Like, cricket is, you're just fucking waiting, like, waiting for rain,
Why
waiting to bat.
Why doesn't everybody split up into pairs and just fucking take 1,000 catches.
Yeah.
No, we'll wait in a line and yell encouragement to each other.
Because we're pack animals.
Yeah.
Cricket is a pack animal, so we must all be in a group, preferably a circle. This one's from
so dumb.
Kale Batten. He writes, "Boys, I went back to my pre-grade cricket, yuck, park shit, in brackets, home ground tonight. For the first time in a couple of years, they've recently renovated the club room, so I went down to look at the showers. Turns out they have individual cubicles with doors on each shower. Is this a sign that my club has too many shorts in the shower type young players who were worried about dad's history at the club? Or is it an early example of the new beta era of Australian cricket?"
Yes. So, that's an interesting question.
Well, yes, it is. And my first takeaway from it is the sentence, "They've recently renovated the club rooms, so I went down to look at the showers."
Yes, that's a good pickup. So, yeah, the so. They've renovated the entire club room.
Oh, club rooms.
As
yeah.
a result.
What's happening with the showers?
Yeah.
What are they doing with the showers?
The first thing I want to look at is the showers. But that is very cricket. It's interesting, isn't it? Because they've obviously got individual cubicles. As a, like, 18, 19-year-old, I would have really embraced that, earnestly speaking. Didn't enjoy getting nude.
It's a legal thing.
Yeah.
It's every new club. The same thing in the UK. Like, every...
But this... This might be a UK question. It kind of actually encourages, like... ultra alpha behavior, because now you'd expect everyone to get naked because they've got an individual cubicle and they won't be, I guess, like watched.
But
then the ultra alpha will try and find a way to still do.
Well, the way that will be done is going in and out naked, so it'll be almost of the performative element to it. Yeah. You can really play up the exit and entry into that shower cubicle.
Yeah, you're right. It is. I can also say the ultra alpha just going into a cubicle that's already occupied.
Yeah,
yeah. I remember playing at a club where like it was fun to like all shower together and like piss on each other.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, that's all.
Well, no further questions. I certainly have no follow-ups to that. That's just a normal male interaction that had. All right. Cameron Kwok writes in. This came in a couple of weeks ago, so sorry for taking the time, Cameron, but yeah, a lot come in. "Today I played in a third grade match at Birchgrove Oval." That's Pez. That's
where the third first grade. Ever rugby league game was played in 1908. Yeah,
I think Bradman played at Birchgrove
Oval. It's the home of rugby
league. It's in Sydney. "We showed up and the pitch was wet as all fuck. Easily one of the worst I've seen. We were required to stick around because Sydney are a chance at finals and needed the 6 points." So Sydney's name of the club that he was playing against. "Why any arrogant of their name. Team would want to waste more Saturdays than they already do, I have no clue. It got to around 1 p.m. and there was no evident changes to the wicket, still wet with a thick grass coverage. As part of Sydney's desperate attempts to get play underway, they set fire to the wicket. Yes, I shit you not, they set the pitch on fire. What the fuck? I've never seen something so ludicrous."
I love...
They set the pitch on fire?
And you can see how it comes together. I played at Sydney years ago.
Yes.
Birchgrove was
may or may not have been the club gorgeous, I was referring to earlier. Gorgeous.
Harbour in the background, boats, suburban.
Yeah.
And then there's just blokes trying to fucking ignite a fire in the middle of the pitch
to dry the wicket. They want to play... Someone in the team is... Like lives for cricket.
They're fire.
Right? This is my guess. Someone in the team lives
for
cricket.
They're an arsonist.
Yeah, and
there's always
like,
a pyromaniac in every great cricket club.
Well, you know, I mean, the entire like spectrum of politics when it's raining is it's a book in and of
itself. Hair dryers. Yes,
that's true.
And like you go in and like everyone assumes a role. And I've never been part of a team that actually wanted to play, but you know there are these teams.
Should we write a book? Like just like involving just one rain delay,
just a rain delay,
yeah,
just called rain delay,
yeah,
possibly. Let us know what you think about that.
Sorry.
So someone, the captain maybe, or the vice captain, or the old guy who lives vicariously through his teammates, obviously really wants to play. And like as the rain delay continues, because we're in Sydney and it rains a lot,
it does.
He starts to get a little bit crazier with his ideas.
Yes,
there's always one guy who does it. Sure. Oh, this is my guess.
Yeah,
and it just kind of goes like, and he goes. And he's on YouTube now, and he's like, he's on Robelinda too. And you say Robelinda? Is it Robelinda?
I say Robelinda.
I say Robelinda.
I say Rob Belinda.
Yeah,
it's an amalgamation of Rob and Belinda, right?
Yeah.
What happened to Belinda's his lovely wife, and they have a joint YouTube account.
What happened to his first account?
But what's two? It's Rob Belinda two.
Is there Robelinda?
We'll have to ask him. And then we're going to have an internet special at some point. Yeah. Anyway, he's on Robelinda, Robelinda two, and he sees that like they did this in the West Indies or something. He's like, we could set fire to this. And it combines his twin passions of
pyromaniac
of like knowing more about pitchers and pyromania and arson.
His twin passions.
And it is. It's a twin passion. And he's like, this is my time.
Yes.
And I think the guy who asked the question, let him go. Once they start setting fire to the pitch.
So what happened? I don't know if the game actually ever getting underway?
Let us know, Cameron.
Because that could be a really groundbreaking way of resolving issues regarding wet pitches.
I like that. Like that could be a way to resolve issues, but also it can just go horribly wrong. Like it just gets out of control.
Yeah. 20 killed in Birch Grove fire.
Yeah. And there is often a total fire ban in Sydney during summer. Final one.
Well, it's so hot there.
It's the final one. Henry McIntosh writes in. He says, "G'day, guys. Went to the Van Gogh Museum in Amsterdam, brackets a great time, the day after we had our only test win in Perth. In the section where Vincent's landscape canvases hung, I walked past a guy wearing a bootleg baggy green." Was this a sheer coincidence, an evident portrayal of patriotism, or was this a meticulous alpha move that was aimed at the Dutch population to show we are a superior nation that is cut out to play test cricket? I love that was his thought. You're in Amsterdam going through a Van Gogh museum and you cannot escape cricket.
Mm.
Like how far away can you get anywhere on this earth where cricket doesn't infiltrate your mind, let alone someone walking past in a bootleg baggy green?
I see it fucking everywhere, man. Like, I was just thinking, like, even if you went to, like...
Where could you
go? Well, I mean, the Netherlands have cricket, and they got a decent cricket team as well, so it's like, it's not that far-fetched. But I'm just thinking...
You can go to the Netherlands, you're not fucking seeing cricket. Oh, sorry.
Didn't the guy run in last week, and he was, like, he was an Amsterdam. He was on the dance floor. He was watching a Pat Cummins over.
They play, you know, so does...
But I'm thinking, like, you know, like, it happens to me all the time. Like, I just see, like, a patch of grass. Could be anywhere in the world. It could be fucking South America, where there's no cricket played. And I see the patch of grass, and I'll be like, that looks like a fast outfit. Or it's like, it's a bit up and down there. I have to go long barrier if I was going to pick a ball up. Like it just crosses my mind, which is not healthy.
Also, just on the baggy green, like the bootlegged baggy green, I thought there was some kind of like they weren't allowed to, like he's obviously said it's bootleg. It is law.
Yeah.
It should be law not to be able to bootleg the baggy green.
Campaign promise from one of the parties to outlaw bootleg baggy
green. How do you know it was a bootleg? Maybe it was original.
I think we should
get retired.
Maybe
tax.
It was an original baggy green.
It was Steve Waugh.
Yeah. Telling you you're fucking telling you,
that's fucking shit art. That's shit landscape art, Van Gogh.
There's some art house film with Steve Waugh in a baggy green. I don't know what the fuck it is, but
let's do merch next year and let's just flog baggy greens.
Yeah.
Is that a good idea?
Okay.
Yeah. Is that enough? There's more questions.
No, that's enough, mate. We got a bit on today.
We do other things.
We got a bit on today.
All right. Well, we've wrapped it up. We've got hopefully that was enjoyable for you guys out there listening. We've done a number of Ask TGCs there. Next week is the last episode for the summer. For a little while, not forever, just a little while.
Could be forever. We'll see.
Just gonna take a little bit of a break before obviously a huge winter coming up. With there's a World Cup and apparently an Ashes
No seasons anymore.
No seasons.
Is the Australian cricket schedule literally in India
in 2 weeks?
Next week.
Yeah.
There's no cricket season. There's no actual seasons either because of global warming.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point.
That's good.
Very good point. And that's what, we genuinely don't know after next week when the next cast is, but I'm guessing we'll be, tempted via ego to do it soon.
Yep, sure. Okay, so thank you very much for those people who have written in. Keep sending them in because any good ones we'll do for the last episode of the summer. Australian Podcast Awards, it would be huge if you could take the time to click a couple of buttons. Pez.
Just off the top of my head.
Yeah.
You guys got any requests for guests that you would like next week?
Yeah.
We've never done this with guests before, but like
Dane Jones.
Given everything we've ever spoken about, is there any guest that we haven't had on that you guys want on?
It's a good show.
I think we could just a bit, because now that the cricket summer is over, Cricket Australia especially are a lot more open to just like letting people in our cast. So who do you want? Let us know if you've made it to the end of this show, which would be hugely surprising.
Yeah.
And we will go and petition them.
Okay, great shout. That's three of the most hungover men in Australia celebrating what's been a wonderful summer. Last show next week. Do join in. Thanks for taking the time.